All right. It's good to be back in the house of God tonight, isn't it? Hallelujah. It's good to have Brother Aaron here. Aren't we glad? He's just becoming a regular here, and we appreciate him. I'm glad he's coming in and making himself a part. His mom and dad are out on the East Coast visiting Sister Christy. So we appreciate that. And Brother and Sister Nye is here. I haven't had the pleasure to meet him yet, but Brother Weiniger was telling me that they've been here before, and so aren't we thankful for them? Hallelujah. And I appreciate all of y'all. And about a year ago, Brother Smith asked us every once in a while, mostly on Sunday nights. No, Sister Karen, this ain't you this time. Yours is coming. But he asked us people to give up and get their testimony. And I mentioned that to Sister Karen because I said, one of these days I'd love to hear your testimony. You know, and she said, I'd rather sing. Well, but we've all got a testimony, don't we? But that kind of phased out. And wouldn't you like to hear Brother Doug's testimony? Huh? Wouldn't you like to hear Brother Doug's testimony? Huh? We've known them for 29 years. And when you first come into the body, there's people who make a impact on your life, some good and some bad. Brother and Sister Smith made a large impact on my life and my family's life. But I'd have to say there was one other family that did too. It wasn't so much that Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne are preachers, but they live the message of the body of Christ. To me, they're the epitome of charity and hospitality. And you'd go over to their house. I remember we'd go over to their house, and they'd make you feel like, well, we've just been waiting for you all day. Where have you been? And they didn't even know we were coming over. And I remember it would start to storm outside. We'd be over at their house, and maybe a little bit of rain. They said, boy, you might as well just spend the night, you know. And they've been good friends for 29 years. And if you want to hear Brother Doug's testimony, a lot of his testimony is in his songs. Most of those songs that he sings, he wrote, and it's his testimony in it. And I've seen Brother Doug. One thing I appreciate about Brother Doug is you won't find a more talented person, you know, in the songwriting, the music ability. And I've seen things pull at him, you know, to get him to go another way. But he's always maintained his integrity, and he's used his talent and his abilities for God. And I appreciate that about Brother Doug. And then over the years, I've seen, and I wouldn't know what it'd be like for somebody to pull on you because of your talent. I've never had that problem. Brother Tally, get her under control. Okay. But over the years, I've seen them, you know, and I've seen pictures of them when they first got married, and they never knew they were going to go to Germany or go through some of the things they've gone through. How long y'all been married? Long time. 40 years. And I've known them 29 of the 40 years, and Brother and Sister Smith knew them before they even got married. But what's always impressed me, and the impression they left on me, was I saw them go through hard, difficult times, things that would blow people out of the saddle. It caused people to get offended, and they never lost their integrity or their love for God or for the body or for each other. You know, I mean, it wasn't always easy, but they always held on to that love of God and of the body. And that made such a big impression on my life, and that's helped put an anchor in my life. And so, you know, if Brother Doug, if I've been doing all this so you can get your thoughts together, I'm running out of good things to say. No, I could talk about Brother Doug all day about the good things, his generosity and his talent and his ability to just to make you feel good about yourself. And then his mother, she used to come to our church in Republic, and she was a preacher. She could sing, and she was a preacher, and she'd get up, and she'd pull the spirit right down. And that runs in their family. Brother Doug can do that. And I've heard Brother Jerry do that, too. And so it just kind of seemed something that... It was kind of funny. My wife and I, we both kind of grew up in California. And so when we moved from California to Texas, we learned some things that we weren't used to. And I remember my wife went with Sister Yvonne to her family in Oklahoma, and they're just kind of country folk. And Sister Yvonne was asking my wife to take the jackets off the potatoes. And my wife didn't know. She was looking. She thought maybe there's a little jacket. So I don't know. That's where I heard this phrase: "Hand me that fly flapper so I can flap that fly." I found out what a fly flapper was. That's a fly swatter. I never knew what a fly flapper was until you got around some Okies. But they were always the one when it was time to go to a meeting. When we lived in Midland and Odessa, they would always, you know, pick us up and take us to church. Or if we were going to Fort Worth or to Carlsbad or one of those other places, they'd always be the first to volunteer to go by and get the derms. And so we appreciate their friendship and their stand for God over the years. So I just like Brother Doug to take his time, and sometimes he hides behind that guitar, but Brother Doug is really deep, I'm telling you. Once you can get him to put that guitar down and start talking, he's deep. He can get deep there. So, all right, Brother Doug. Come on.
Were you talking about me? No, I really appreciate the Durhams. Tell them about them first. They were sitting at a taco. Was it a Taco Bell? I guess. And brother and sister Ayers happened to stop by there, and they had that wonderful van that wouldn't run. And that's how we met them. They made such a big impression, a good impression on brother and sister Ayers, that they brought them to church, and they're still here, and that's been 29 years ago. And you talk about someone that's got something in his life. Brother Durham is such an example. And we've known hard times, but they experience it every day, and he's still here. So, you know, he's taking his head off to me, but he is such a wonderful example to everyone, and appreciate their friendship and their loyalty to me and to God. A little bit about me. I was raised in church, and decided that when I got, I guess, 16 or 17, that I didn't need to serve God anymore, and just waited for that day when I could run. And I did for several years. My wife and I got married right after I was out of high school, and then came down on orders for Germany and spent two tours over there and came back. We didn't know the Smiths before we got married. When we met them, we got stationed in San Antonio just right after we got married. And one Saturday night, we went out. I think it was Saturday night. I think we'd been in San Antonio for a week and decided to get out and try to find a church. So we drove all over San Antonio, got lost. And, of course, I can get lost anywhere, my wife can tell you. But we got lost, and but we wound up on a street called Sadie Street and found this church. And so we said, we'll just go to church there tomorrow. Wound up church there, and that brother and sister Smith were there, and we just became such good friends with them. And that's been 40 years ago, so time sure does fly. And anyway, we went back to Germany, and they kept calling, and we got out of church, and they got out of church, and we got back in church, and they got back in church, and he got back in church, and I didn't. But my wife and I was playing in a club in Kerrville, Texas, and my wife and I were having trouble living together. And so I decided that I didn't need her, and I liked my music a lot more, and her and I separated for several months. And that's when Brother Smith had started the church in Winters, Texas. And so she left Kerrville and moved to Winters, Texas. And I stayed in Kerrville and was playing music and sowing wild oats. And anyway, I just one Saturday evening, I think it was a Saturday evening, Brother Smith drove to Kerrville, Texas, and I was in a little place there, and he knocked on the door and came in and just sat down and just cried and cried and just begged me to come back. And I tell you what, that haunted me from that moment on. I had no peace at all. It just, every time I would try to think about anything, the vision of him sitting on that bed crying and just begging me to get back with my family and do the right thing, just it was so embedded in my mind, I couldn't rest. Well, the club that I was playing in, we had it would seat about, I guess, 300 or 400 people, and it seemed like every night we was playing there 6 nights a week, and every night it was just packed. So we had a good band, I thought, and we had a good crowd. And one night, one Friday night, the club manager, which was the son-in-law of the club owner, ran off with one of the waitresses and $25,000. And so that was a Friday night. Saturday morning, I'd already been talking to my wife several times about trying to get back together and making it right and doing the right thing. And I knew that her and my mom and everybody that knew about me was praying. And I just hated the fact that they were praying, because I knew what God could do. And I went to the club that Saturday morning. We were supposed to have a rehearsal, and there was a big note on the door that said the club is closed. And just overnight, we went from being what we thought was wonderful to having nothing. I knew what God was doing, and I was mad at God, but I was so thankful that He still had my name. And anyway, my wife and I got back together, and that's been 30 years ago, something like that. Close to 30 years ago, and it hadn't been a bed of roses. She's hard to live with, but I love her anyway. But no, she is a wonderful woman. We've been through some rough times, and we've been through some great times, and I don't think about the rough times anymore. I think about all the good times. And had it not been for her and the things that we've gone through, I don't know that I could have gone through them by myself. I really appreciate her love for me, and how much sometimes when you go through hard times, how a helpmate can grab your hand and say, let's go, let's don't stop. And she was so instrumental in that to get me where I am today, because I know without her and without God, I think it's a twofold purpose there. Her and God just teamed up on me and wouldn't leave me alone. And I'm so thankful for her and for God for keeping His hand on me. It was 3 years ago this month that I went through the surgery with the cancer and the chemo and all that for a year, and to see how she held me up. And I know she had a lot of times you could see it in her face, but she never let on like she was worried. But she knew that we had a God that we could trust, and I'm so glad that she was strong enough to hold on and to be who she was, and she never wavered. And appreciate her love for me and her love for the church, because that's, I think it's goes hand in hand, that how much she loves God and loves God's people. And she, many, many times we'd have people over, and she's real big about having people over. She's not much of a loner. She likes to have people around, and it's always been good for for me, because I'm a people person too. I don't like to be alone very long, and so it's always good to have people come by and stop by, and we like having people. So yeah, prove me wrong, come by. But anyway, I'm so thankful to be in church, and like Sister Pryor was talking about this morning, how you guys opened up your arms to us and make us feel like we were family. And because it's hard to do when you get a bunch of people like we did, all of a sudden you get this many people coming in and a lot of different spirits and different ideas, and things can get sometimes get in the way of what you thought was a comfort zone, and how you guys just scooted over and made room for us. And I really, really do appreciate that. And Brother Brett, he's crazy as the day is long, but I love him. She will when we get home.
Pretty accurate. oh, goodness, I don't have my thoughts together at all. I'm just thinking about what he was saying. I guess I could say ditto to pretty much everything he said, but I just know that since I was a little girl, that the Lord has had his hand on my life. Went to a Baptist church when I was a little girl. We lived out in the country, and the little country schoolhouse I went to had 8 grades with 2 teachers, and on Sundays and Wednesday nights they turned the little auditorium into a church, and that's where I went to church when I was younger, and just always felt the Lord through my life. I had good family that love the Lord, and I'm really thankful for my family, my background. They're not in this body, but they have good principles and they love the Lord. You know, we just always have had a real close relationship, our family has. And when Doug and I got married, I was 18 and he was 20, and of course Brother Smith says, no, you're not in love. We thought we was in love. I mean, I thought we were madly in love when we got married. And, of course, you grow. I realize what he's saying. You grow as you get older and are together. You become more in love with your mate. But we were just going to, you know, set off and make our own little world. And we met the Smiths, like he said, when we first got married in that little church. And San Antonio, it just seemed like overnight we became best friends with them. And then that was in June, and he went to Germany in December, and then I went in February, and we were gone for 18 months, and then went back to San Antonio for a year and took up our friendship with them again. And I believe at that point, it was while we were gone to Germany the second time, that Brother Smith had been, had been visiting with Sister Jody's father, Brother Sut Miller, and had become introduced to the body somewhat then. And then when we came back from Germany the second time there in Kerrville, we stayed with them for a while till we got our own place, and started having home services there in Brother Smith's house. And he introduced us to the body and started telling us all these things that we'd never heard before. But it was very, I know some people have trouble, but it didn't bother me. The things he told me, told us, it just seemed like it all made sense. And I'd never, ever considered the devil subject and all everything else. It never had looked at it any different, but it just all made sense. And even to this day, I think, God, why did you pick me out of all my family that I could come this way? And I'm just so grateful and so thankful for that the Lord, I don't know what he saw in us, but he led us this way, and I'm thankful for that. Maybe sometime, I can't even think, Brother Durham. Maybe some later, if I can get my thoughts together, I could do a better job. But I am. I'm like Doug. I'm thankful that you all opened your hearts to us and made us feel at home here and welcome. And we love you all.
God could have said to me, I've had it. You proved to me that you're not worth it. Why shouldn't my grace reach out to you again? You've broken promises you made me. You chose to live a life of misery instead of letting me be your one true friend. Here I am, I'm touching you again. He still loves me. Thank God he loves me. In spite of all the things I've done, he still loves me. I don't deserve this love he's given, but the kind of life that I was living. Now my sins have been forgiven. He still loves me. Amazing grace describes it best. I feel so honored and so blessed. I'm overwhelmed that God still had a place for me. For his loving spirit, I'm grateful that he's let me feel it. This touch from God is exactly what I need. He reached way down and set this sin. My sins have been forgiven. He still loves me. He still loves me. Thank God he loves me. In spite of all the things I've done, he still loves me. I don't describes it best. I feel so honored and so blessed. I'm overwhelmed that God still had a place for me. I'm thankful for his loving spirit. I'm grateful that he's led me.
exactly what I need. He reached way down and set this sinner free. He still loves me. Thank God he loves me. In spite of all the things I've done, he still loves me. I don't deserve this love he's given, but the kind of life that I was living. But now my sins have been forgiven. He still loves me. He still loves me. Thank God he loves me. In spite of all the things I've done, he still loves me. I don't deserve this love he's given, but the kind of life that I was living. But now my sins have been forgiven. He still loves me.
Songs, by the way, that's part of his testimony. It's, if you listen to his songs, you can hear his testimony in it. That's why you can feel something in it.
The words up there. Do you have the words to "I'm so thankful"? I can't remember my song. Brother Dan, do you want to sing with me?
I was living in my sins, with no chance of eternal life, till he called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. There's such thankfulness in my heart, I could still be lost out there. He stopped my worldly dreams and ungodly schemes to get me here. And I'm so thankful for what he's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times learned to turn to him in prayer. There's some things I don't understand, but I'm holding to his saving hand, and I'm thankful for what he's done to get me here. Even though trials have not ceased, but now I have someone to turn to who's promised everlasting peace. So I keep clinging on my Savior's love while he gets my soul prepared. I appreciate what my Lord has done. Thank you. Christ, everlasting peace. So I keep leaning on my Savior's love while He gets my soul prepared. I appreciate what my Lord has done to keep me here. And I'm so thankful for what He's done to get me here. I'm so glad for all the hard times I've learned to turn to Him in prayer.
I have to look this way or I lose my thought. But when he said that, I everybody know I don't sing, you know, I don't have any dramatic effects as far as I can't even look at the camera. That's the only wall that doesn't have one. But anyway, Brother Durham, I do repent. I mean, God gave us a place. Even if we don't have any time. And that's all I can think of when he said that. Because, I mean, there's a place for everything. You know, we don't like mosquitoes, but you know, God has a purpose for mosquitoes. We don't like snakes, but God has a purpose for snakes. I don't like flies. Every time you have a picnic, Sister Yvonne, you know, is the epitome of hospitality. You know, she invites two or three people over. You can bet it's going to be 35 there. You know, so, but flies come, you know, so everybody's got a talent. So there's a need for everything. And my brother Durham said that I thought, well, see, when I was little, I talked all the time. You know, it didn't matter who I was talking to, what I was saying, I'll talk. So my aunt, I brought her here before, Sister Nichols, well, she gave me this name. It's really the name of a radio station. She said, I can't talk so much, she sounded like a radio station. So for all my life, they called me this radio station. So my grandpa said, everybody has a purpose. It's that man with the bench memory. People could sing, people could preach, people could testify. I could sit on the bench and be a spectator. So I decided, when Brother Durham said that, I don't know what just came out. He made me think of me. I know when Brother Durham was sick, when Brother, the other, not Brother Durham, the other one, Brother York, was singing that song, you know, God still loves me. I mean, you just have to have my husband, my brothers to tell you about me. And they still love me. God still loves me. He's got because Sister Yvonne said that she knew they were deeply in love when they got married. Honey, you can forget it. I wasn't in love when I got married. He said, get married. And I told him, just wait. And he said that after you got married, time bring about a change and you can learn to love. I thought, this is a joke. I said, if I didn't learn to love, could I get a divorce? He said, this is terrible. And that's how bad I am. I mean, that's how bad I was. I'm pretty bad now, but that's really how bad I was. And God looked down on this poor little ignorant child. And you know what? He added me to the body of Christ. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? He baptized me with the Holy Ghost. Every time I think about it, I think, oh, God, a merciful, merciful God. I've got talented aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters, and I've got those that can sing, and I've got those that can do all kinds of things. I've got those with degrees. I've got those that might be a bootlegger. I won't tell you what he does. But they've got talents. They do different things. Some of them are bad things, but they do them. You know, they have the talent to do them. You know, everybody got to have talent. Some talents are bad, but they're still a talent. But anyway, I'm the only one. Can you believe that? That he saw fit to bring this way. I was a little girl, Sister Ivana, raised up in the Baptist church too. I was bad. I mean, so bad. That make you sit on the mourner's bench at revival time. You got 8 out of 10. You were old enough to sit on the mourner's bench. Now, you might not know what a mourner's bench is, but in the Baptist church, I hope I'm not offending anybody Baptist. Anyway, they set this bench up there, and on one side, the girls had to sit, and on the other side, the boys had to sit. And you all that week that have this preacher, and oh, he preached fire and brimstone and all that singing and that going, and you had to sit there, and at the end, they'd ask you if you felt that you had gotten saved, you could stand up and testify. My grandma, my grandpa, my uncles, my cousins, they all told me, you get up there and lie, you're going to throw up. I said, what? They said that they gave this name, I can't remember what his name was. He got up and he said that he was ready to be saved and ready to be baptized, and he right there, because he was lying. So I was so scared, So my cousin told me how to do it. He said, you say, wait until it rains, though, that you pray for rain, because it's dry and they need rain for the crops, or something that happened, and the Lord sent the rain, and you know you saved, and you get up and say that, and they won't set you back down. Because, see, if you got up there and said you saved, and you was a little devil like me all day long, your mama would say, she lying, sit her down. She's not to be saved. Y'all laughing, but this is the truth, this part. I mean, I'm tickled, but it's the truth. So, my cousin told me how to do it, okay? And I watched the boy before, and he got sick. Sure enough. Now, I don't know if that was a coincidence or if that was the truth, that boy was lying. I don't know, but I do remember. I didn't get up that night. Forget it. Because I didn't want to be set out. I didn't want to get up and say, settle down, okay? So, when I finally did, I remembered everything my cousin said. I had a good one. Now, I tell you, maybe I do have a gift. I have a gift of gab. I got up there and said, just like he said it, you know what? They didn't set me down. I got baptized that year, the Baptist church. Now, whether or not I was saved or not is a different story, but I was done, because every year you didn't get up and say that and get baptized, you had to sit on the mourner's bench the next year. I don't know if anybody else know about the mourner's bench. But you was a spectator. You sitting up there, everybody sitting there looking at you the whole night while the preacher's going through. Then the revival lasts the whole week. You had to sit there the whole time until you got up and said that and convinced them, your parent, not to set you back down. So I did get baptized in the Baptist church. I'm not going to say I was saved. I'm not going to say I wasn't saved. The good Lord knows. Anyway, I didn't live saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. I wasn't there. So I went on through life after that. And one time I was sitting in the Baptist church and they was having a singing. I love good good gospel singing. I mean, a certain kind of singing I love. Anyway, and I'm sitting there and I felt the Spirit. And I believe, honestly, now that I look back on it, at the time I didn't know, I believe the Holy Ghost was upon me. I believe I could have spoken in tongues. I remember tears running out and this feeling, this covering surrounding me. And that was the only time I ever felt that in that particular church. Well, people passed by me and looked at me like they were afraid of me. So something was going on that wasn't usual for me. And I didn't speak in tongues. No one knew how to bring me through, okay? No one knew what was going on. I went on through life, and my husband, bless his dear, wonderful soul, he told me that you had to speak in tongues to have the Holy Ghost. I said, the Bible said, it was the scripture, and I didn't even know where it was. Now I told him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't know the Bible either, but he knew more about it than I did. So some kind of way we got somebody to tell us, I think Sister Nichols told us what the scripture was, for me to prove to him that scripture, but I didn't prove to him I had the Holy Ghost. So I thought I had the Holy Ghost because I went to that church and I remembered that one feeling. He says, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You didn't speak in tongues. So he was from a church that knew about speaking in tongues. His parents were. I shouldn't say he was. His parents went to a church that knew about speaking in tongues, and so he was familiar with it, and all I knew about them were they were different people, but that's not what I call them. But I wasn't saved, so God even forgave that. Oh, every time I think, he just telling me it didn't even sound bad. But you know, God still looked down on this poor sinner, and you know, he still brought me here. And every time I think about it, I get joy in my soul to think that he still, you know, he didn't turn me down. He still, in my ignorance, brought me this way and began to clear a path to let me strive long enough to get a vision of this great body of Jesus Christ. And we went after I was married maybe a couple years or so, and I hadn't divorced him. He hadn't divorced me. I decided to go along with him, see how it was going to work out. By the way, that's 41 years ago. Going on 42. I'm still going along with him to see what's going to happen. And then he said that we should go to church somewhere because we had been married a couple years and thinking about having a family. We ought to be in church. So this debate, whether you go to the Baptist church or to his kind of church, Church of God in Christ, which he wasn't in anyway, so why was he going to force me to go over there? So we went to visit different churches. All Baptists. And one time I decided to, if we was going to go to his kind of church, it was going to be with my aunt, Sister Nichols, the one I, and it was Independent Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, walking in the way, no other way. One way is the right way. That's the way to go. So that's what I told him about that scripture, Jesus is the way, because he wasn't Jesus is the way. He was Church of God in Christ. They baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So I had to convince him to go over there and check it out. So I told him about that scripture. So he went with Sister Nipple, and he said, okay. So we kept going. So then it just became a way of life. And I was sitting on the front seat, and I was trying to whisper and tell her something. Try to get her to understand that something was wrong with my mouth. And that's not the case for me. It can talk all the time. But I was trying to convince her that something was, I was trying to tell her something, but I couldn't tell her. And she was saying, be quiet. We'll be talking in the house of God. Just be quiet. She's the one that named me the radio station, by the way, that I wouldn't stop talking. So there was a lady minister up there ministering, and she said, Lucifer. Well, everything with the devil. Everything. Loose of Satan, let him go, said that Satan had my tongue. And I tried, I began to speak in tongues, sitting right there on the front row while she was preaching. They wasn't praying people through to the Holy Ghost. They wasn't inviting anybody up there for an altar. They wasn't making me sit on the mourner's bench. Nothing. I just began to speak in tongues. Out of season, of course. I don't know why I can't do things right. But then I began to speak in tongues, and then he knew I had the Holy Ghost. But he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But now I had the Holy Ghost. And we went on from there, and after having the Holy Ghost, I got pregnant. That's what it was. And I was jumping off Sister Nichols' porch again. Her steps were broke. And it was up high, and I jumped, and I hurt the bottom of my stomach. I went to the doctor. I was 3 months pregnant. Didn't know I was pregnant. Didn't know what was going on. And she said that she prayed, and the Lord filled my womb. Okay. 6 months later, we got a baby. So when I was there with the baby trying to take care of this child and trying to learn what in the world to do with him, I'm scared of babies. I don't like little babies. So I carried this blanket around, and I put it on a pillow. And I carried this pillow through the house and feed this baby, get his bottle, you know, and he wasn't afraid of babies. He didn't care. He told the baby. So in doing this, I began to get an emptiness. We were still going to this church, the one I'm telling you about, baptism in Jesus' name. And while washing dishes, like looking through that window, there was a place that had three streets. And somewhere on those three streets, there was a man that could answer my questions. So I began to search. I went to church every night except Monday night. I went to a church over on the East End on Tuesday night. I went to our church on Wednesday. I went to our church on Tuesday night. Went to a church over there in the East End on Wednesday night. Went to our church on Thursday night. Went to a church over in McAlmont on Friday night. And somewhere else I found on Saturday night. I was trying to find this place that had a man that could answer my questions. I was hungry for more, and I didn't know where it was. So my aunt, Sister Nichols again, her husband did yards out in this area, and he said that if I go all the way out Asher, there was a place that split into a Y, and that was three streets like what I was describing to him out there, to go out there and see if I could find this man that could answer my questions. So every Sunday morning there, we went to church, 10 or whatever. Anyway, church here was at 1 o'clock, and something would happen to me at that time in that church where I was, and I'd look around to see if an evil spirit or something had walked in the room, something different had come into the room. This went on several times. So one evening, I convinced my husband to drive out Asher. And back then, it was just woods out there. You know, like how Colonel Glenn is built up out there now? It wasn't like that. Stagecoach out that way, you know, it was built up more. And there was this little white building sitting over here that didn't look much like a church at all. Just an old building looking. And we went on back to church. And then that next week, when I was washing dishes and there was a three streets in one place, I saw this little old building. And it was this building, because I had seen it one time out looking. And that evening, I asked my husband, could we come to church here? And we were workers in the church. He drove a car and picked up people and took a carload. I drove a car, picked up people and took a carload. You know, we were workers in the church. So he was concerned, how were they going to get to church? I don't know how they're going to get to church. But I've got to go out there and see if I can figure out what this is. So some kind of way we made arrangements for the people and all. And he brought me out, and I was so thrilled, Brother Durham. Guess what? We had exclusive parking. There was just one spot reserved for us. It was the only empty spot on that spot. We parked right in that spot just like it was for us. I told my husband, see, look, there's a spot just for us. Well, we didn't know about the pastor's spot. He was out of town. I don't know why we can't do things right. But we parked in that spot, and before he could turn the motor off, there was this big man walking in the door, turned around, waved, and beckoned us in. I said, see that? God has an angel telling us to come on in. Well, I didn't know it was Brother John Peachy. He was just visiting. He didn't even go to church here. Anyway, Brother John Peachy just went on in the church. We got out and came in. We had a little baby. I think it was 6 months old. And then my husband looked around at all these white people. There wasn't a black person in the spot. Nowhere in the old church. He said, are you sure? I said, we can make it one night. Brother Wayne McGowan came over and sat out in front of us, and I didn't even let the man get introduced. Out. I started asking him questions. You believe in foot washing? You believe in baptism in Jesus? You believe in? I didn't even wait for one answer. I was asking those questions so fast. I thought I heard the answer, or he was going to give me the answer later, because I just kept asking more questions. And he began to tell me about the pastor being out of town, and he wanted us to come back again and visit and meet the pastor. In the meanwhile, Brother Tucker was at a meeting in, I think it was Belfouche, Brother Giffen's, and he had been fellowshipping with, you know, the two Brother Hawkins, and the Brother Lacey Hawkins, and the Brother Clyde Hawkins, and they were in California, and he had asked him to pray with him and join him, that God was going to send him a black family. Well, that same weekend is the weekend that I came. So every time somebody would do something to me or I upset anybody in the church, I'd tell them, you know, Brother Tucker prayed for me. I got to stay here. That was all kind of things that came up because people were leery. I don't know if everybody in this church or anybody still in here that was, but they had this thing about the color thing. Anyway, God let me stay right here and work it out of them. And everybody, you know, God has a purpose for us, all of us. God uses us as a tool. Now, I don't want to be that old crook, though, that Brother Tucker used to preach about. You know, that crook, they put it under the building to prop it up, to build the structure, and then they use that old crook in another spot. But when they got through the building, they threw old crook in the fire. Now, I don't want to be old crook. I want to be used, but I want to be one of those stones God can use in his building. I don't want to be your crook. I don't mind being used, but I want to be used where I can be kept, if it's your will, God. But anyway, God brought us in, and my husband, after that night, he I don't know, did he come back that next week to meet Brother Tucker or not? Didn't. Anyway, 13 months we'll go down to the street. We still drove those two cars, only I wasn't picking up people anymore. He'd go to the left, and I'd go to the right. For 13 months, I kept coming. During that time, Brother Daniel and Sister Daniels came in, so we had more black people. At least I wasn't here by myself with that little baby. And not that anybody treated me badly. It's just that it's kind of strange. You try. You go to an all-black church and sit there. Anyway, God can make a way. I mean, I know without a shadow of a doubt that if he wants you, if you will present yourself, he can make a way. So that went on for 13 months, and he went off to school. That's his testimony. Anyway, he came in after that. And God has allowed us to stay, Brother Durham. So I wasn't laughing at you. I'm just trying to tell you my story. I'm bad. I'm really bad. And I still be bad, but not bad as I was. God is still working on me. Yeah. And if I might have that talent. I might not be able to get up there and sing like Martin Luther. I might be able to get up there and play that organ like Sister Joyce Wynand. I might not be able to get up there and play that guitar like Brother York. I might not be able to get up there and beat on that piano. I play on that piano like the piano players. I almost called a name. But whatever he wants me to do, I want to find myself presenting myself to the Lord and say, use me, Lord, for your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That he might get the glory. I praise him and I thank him and I glorify his name.
Are kind of giving their testimonies tonight of how they came to the body of Christ. And I'm like, Karen, I'd rather sing than get up. Because I don't like getting up and speaking in front of people unless I'm really inspired. But I got listening to the testimonies tonight, and I began to think about my history as a little girl. And my parents found a little church. It was probably, Sister Crow was in the early 50s when they, Brother Ralph Frames had the little church over in North Little Rock on Railroad Avenue. Early 50s. And that's where my mother and father came in and met this body of people. And I was just a little bitty girl. And I remember at that time, I don't know what inspired everybody, but Brother Dawkins, R.E. Dawkins, had the church in Kansas City. And I remember my mother and father and Sister Maxine Wilkins and her husband and Brother Ralph Raines and Sister Florence, and she's now married to Brother Beck. Brother Ralph Raines passed away, and she's married to Brother Beck now. But everybody just packed up and moved to Kansas City. And I was just a little bitty girl. And I remember, as a little girl, my parents would sit, and it was a big, big church. And they would sit me up on probably the second row, right in the center of that church. And I remember I was just a little bitty girl. And Brother Dawkins would get up. And in my mind, I thought, oh, man, he is such a powerful man. You know, and I listened to him. And as a little child, I felt like something touched my life. And I thought, oh, Lord, I mean, and I remember that band in Kansas City. Oh, God, it was a beautiful band. And I remember that band would get started playing. And God, the Spirit would just move in. And that band would come off the platform. And they would just march around that building. And I mean, they would be dancing in the aisles, playing their instruments at the same time. And that's the kind of memories that I have as a child. And I mean, that'll never leave me. And I remember that one time, miracles. I remember one time, it was a little boy, and he came down, and he had braces on his legs. And Brother Dawkins and them prayed for him. And they took them braces off. That little boy ran from the front. It was a long ways. We ran from the back of the church to the front. And Gus, then God had his hand. I know he did, because I remember those were precious, precious memories. And I remember that my father decided that he was going to come to Arkansas Little Rock and start a church. And oh, I just cried. I didn't want to leave Brother Dawkins' church. I just cried. I thought my world's come to an end, you know, because I didn't want to leave. Oh, and so he came to Little Rock. And of course, right after he came, then Brother Tucker came, and he came to my dad's home and asked, could he start a church here in Little Rock? And I'll just be open. And of course, there was two churches here, you know. My dad just never could. He just never could get his life. And he was a preacher. Oh, he knew this preaching. He knew this teaching in this body of people. And so he did. I have to give him credit that he did plant that teachings in my life. I have to give him that much credit that he did do that for me. Now, he was hard. Oh, my God, he was hard on me. But maybe that's why I'm still here, because I don't know. But he was hard. You know, he didn't want to live it, but he wanted me to live it, you know. And but I remember that there was several things took place, and we were left without a place to go, no place to go, because I couldn't go to my dad's church, because I knew his life was not clean, you know. And I had that much about me, I knew. And I remember. We used to go to a lot of the meetings at Wood River and Godfrey. And I remember at Thanksgiving, we'd go to those meetings. And we tried to go to the meetings, you know, because I knew I had to do something. We had to do something. And I remember we went to a meeting. And my husband, he talked to Brother Lineger. And he said, you know, he asked Brother Lineger, he said, do you think that it would be okay if we come over here
to the church, and he said, you know, I know not everything was always hunky-dory, you know. So we didn't know whether we would be welcome here because of the past. And he said, Brother Linger said, we have an open door. And he said, and this is right after Brother Tucker passed away. I remember it's right after he passed away. And I know that I got to give Brother Tucker credit because the things that I've heard, I know that that he planted just like my dad planted things within me, even though he couldn't live it. And I remember we came here. I know it was kind of hard, you know, but I remember Shirley, she just kind of took me under her wing. And we've been here ever since. And I remember that. And I'm sitting under Brother Linegar. Oh, Lord. I tell you what, that I grew. I did. You know, when you're young, you're not as sincere. Things just aren't as important to you. You know what I'm saying? They're just not. But sitting under Brother Linegar, oh, Lord, it did something for me. It did something for me. I'm sorry, y'all, but I know that God, I've seen how God, over the years, he's had his hand on me and my family. He's had his hand on me. And even I can remember as a little girl just listening to Brother Dawkins, and I thought, oh, God, I knew he had something. We had some wonderful ministers in this body of people. Wonderful ministers. And a lot of them have gone on. But we've got some good ones now. I'm not saying we don't. But so the older men that were, oh, God, those foundation, Brother Linegar and all them men. And I have to say that I really did grow. I really did grow a lot under Brother Linegar. He planted some things in my life that has held me and really helped me. But I just thought I'll get up and tell a little bit about. And I'm so glad that y'all welcomed. Y'all wrapped your arms around me. And I'm so glad that God has kept his hand on me and kept us here. And I want to say that I appreciate the body of Christ. I appreciate the body of Christ. And I'm so thankful that the Lord has planted something in my life. And I'm not, you know, some people say, oh, well, they'd never leave this. Never leave this. But I'd be afraid to say that. But I just want to say that I pray that God never shuts my eyes or closes my eyes to this, that I'll always have that vision of this people. Oh, Lord, and all, not everything is always hunky-dory. But God didn't promise us a rose garden. So, but I'm thankful. I'm so thankful to be here, and I'm sorry if I kind of rattled on, but I just felt like to, you know, get up and tell a bit of how I said I feel like I've been here all my life, but you know, that don't mean nothing. You still got things you got to get worked out and overcome. But I'm just, by God's grace, I'm hoping I'll make it.
So thankful that God brought Sister Tally here. We learned a whole lot from her. We learned about lots of things. And I think she picked up a few things from us. I remember Mama and Aunt Sue and different ones after they came here. They'd sit there and talk about, now what's the difference in black hair and white hair? Now, why can't y'all do, you know, I mean, and how we fix gravy and how they fix gravy. And I mean, because she didn't know what white breakfast gravy was, and then turned out to be our cook. So, I mean, And everybody wanted white breakfast gravy, so she learned how to make that. We learned a whole lot of things. But it is, it's really wonderful how God's brought each one, you know, together. And then I remember when Brother and Sister Bryant and their family came, and I mean, I came here when I was 8 years old. God didn't really deal with me at that point anyway. But I can tell you almost word for word the story of how he dealt with my mom and daddy, because I've grown up with that, and I know, and I lived a very integral part of it too, so, because he dealt with them through me at one point. So, I mean, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to have grown up and to see all these things, and so many that are here, that, you know, there's more and more people here that I remember coming. Longer I live, and sadly more and more people that I have memories of being here and leaving, and the more that you live through all of that, and I, you know, I thought I'd been talking to different people here lately and thinking about how many pastors I've sat under in one assembly. It's kind of unusual, you know, and the changes and the, you know, I don't know if I call them revolutions, but, you know, just different things, and watching, you know, and seeing God move and work, and knowing different people's stories and how they've come, and you know, I remember the night Brother Daniels came. I remember how he looked. I remember Sister Tally talking a mile a minute. you know, it's just, and then the here lately, you know, all the people from Republic that have come and moved in and everything, you know, and I just, how wonderful it is. I appreciate my own history. I appreciate, because God moved me here. God, I was born in the body, and that was, I never was out there, you know. But I had to get saved, and I had to get a vision. And I was just thinking about that tonight as Sister Jody started off with all the way. And I have been the last few days with my, some natural family that I'm not around very often. And, of course, when you go get into those circumstances, there's all kinds of memories that come up and all the stories that you hear again, and, you know, now how was that? Now, you know, who was so and so, and what, yeah, and all that, and all that's come up, and I have some good people that love the Lord, and there's some very religious people, and then there's those that would have nothing to do with God and have lived just, you know, their way, their life. And all the different, you know, and then Sister Tally said, and others, you know, why us? Why did somehow God touch my mind and let me see? Because it wasn't because I was born here. As Brother York was singing that song, I was thinking about that, you know, that he still loves me. And I remember the day, and if you can't look at the day that you remember an experience similar to this, just wait, because I remember the day that God held a mirror in front of me, and when you grow up like I did, and you don't, in fact, it reminds me of one time Brother Leninger was preaching and saying, y'all need to tell that world goodbye, just go tell it goodbye, and get, you know, and so... So after church, I said, bye, Brother Leninger. I'll see you in a few weeks. Or, you know, and he's looking at me like, huh? I said, well, you said I need to go tell the world goodbye. He said, I wasn't talking to you. You don't need. You never told it hello. You don't need to go tell it goodbye. And I didn't. And I don't honestly know whether it's just because I didn't have enough guts to try it because I was too scared, you know, for something new or what. But... But let me tell you something. God can hold that mirror up in front of you, and you'll see just how sinful and just how, you know, and he, God hated self-righteousness a whole lot worse than some, a lot of other things, you know. And I remember when he uncovered that mirror in front of me and showed me some things in my life and what I really was and how he, you know, how he saw me. But he loved me anyway. He still loved me. And I'm so thankful for that. I don't know. I just, that chorus tonight where she was singing all the way, dear Lord, please let me go with you. And Mom and I just had such a good time talking on the way up there to see Aunt Polly and back and talking about different things. And one thing that I was reminded of while we were talking was Brother Watson one time was here and talking about laying up mercy. We've always heard about that. And he said something that really has never left me. He said, you lay up mercy by having mercy. You can only have mercy when you're done wrong. You don't have mercy on people that have been good to you and done you right. You don't have mercy then. You have mercy on people when they've done you wrong and you decide to show mercy and recognize the same boat that you're in and show mercy like you want it shown to you. And really, the greater the wrong, the more opportunity for you to lay up mercy. If you think about it, and I don't always think about it, I'll be totally honest, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for teachings and understandings like that, that, you know, that it's so easy for us to get self-righteous if you do good. So all of y'all that are growing up in church, I'm serious. Pay attention to this. It is so easy to slip into that, to think, I've been good, never touched a drop of alcohol, never had a cigarette to my lips, never went to a dance hall, never, you know, you just start thinking of, oh, I did. And you forget that you're here by the same grace that's brought all these other people. And it's a whole lot to overcome your own self-righteousness than it is some other things. And I'm so thankful. I am. I'm thankful for where I've come. I'm thankful for the family I've here. I enjoyed visiting with the family that I have and the, you know, the time sharing memories and all that. But I'm so thankful for this family right here. I am so thankful for the family of God. And I'm thankful. There's some people that just discount their natural family when, you know, you have this. But I'm extremely thankful for the natural family I have here. And for I'm glad that I don't have to feel that I have no family that understands this way, you know, and that I'm standing all alone when, you know, they do. There's many that who have been here and are not now, but they still understand, you know, they know. And I'm thankful for that. I am. Now there's some parts of it that I go and I meet a lot of people and usually I can tell them I'm from Little Rock. I'm Brother Tucker's granddaughter, Brother Weininger's daughter. Oh yeah, okay. And then there'll be this moment of horror that touches their face and they'll go, "Oh, you're Brett's sister." No, I'm Brother Weininger's daughter. I said, yeah, y'all pray for me, won't you? That's my conversation starter wherever I go. I just got to tell them, you know Brett Weininger, right? Oh, yeah, boy, what was he like growing up? And we're gone. We can talk for hours. Oh, but he's also, and yeah, growing up with Brett was a... Y'all just, y'all come over sometime and try me. We can talk all night. but he's been a good brother, and I've watched him go through some things too, and I'm thankful for that. And he's stood up for me and with me and encouraged me a few times. I'm so appreciative and thankful that God has touched me enough to see what I need to work on, to see that I am special because he's called me and he's given me a chance, but I'm not so special. I'm just like everybody else. I got the same things to work on and overcome. And I'm glad for both those revelations. I hope I keep them. You know, I hope I don't forget both of those things. How special I am and thankful that he's called me. But at the same time, how much I've got to work on and how much I've got to do. And how thankful I am for a people to go along with me, to hold my hand, to help me and encourage me, and to be able to do the same for them. And just so, so thankful to be a part of his people.
Great.
Shake hands and be friendly. We'll see y'all Wednesday.